welcome to the Calm Projects podcast, where we love to talk about culture, arts, nature and wellness. And we're back for the second show with Stanley Diddy. And this time we're going to have Mustafa Jeremiah in on the conversation as well. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm not too bad, Shane. Yourself?
Good. Yeah, I'm looking forward to hearing the rest of this. And we got into like really the importance of community.
And how we should all help each other, help us all.
Exactly. That's it. And Stanley Diddy, I recommend if you didn't see the first part with Stanley, I really recommend you go and check that out. He's out there in Nairobi and he's the project coordinator at NAREC NGO, or the Nairobi Recyclers, and they do really outstanding work in the community. And it's a real testament actually to what can be achieved.
That's it. I mean, especially from what Jeremiah says, you know, about being in Nairobi a few years ago and then being there now and the difference it has made.
Yeah, you could really see it from Mustafa, how his he was really encouraged by the work Stanley's done, which was great. So we're going to hear more from Mustafa Jeremiah, the official UNIF ambassador to the Shia Tree, and he's another wonderful guest we had on a couple of times. And again, I recommend people go and have a listen and go and check that out. He's another person doing wonderful work for, and he's at it for the last 8 years or so now. He's a former biology teacher who decided to focus on conservation and restoration of the environment. And I think Stanley's that organization of Stanley's, though, Chris, what did he say, 2013 was, they were going a little bit before then.
Yeah, 2013 was when they reinvented themselves.
Yeah. They're gone a long time. So we get into it, and we'll be back for more. So yes. I'm going to bring Jeremiah in on the conversation in a second. But before I do that, there's a picture here I'd love to ask you about, Stanley. And this is, I saw a tower of plastic.
Okay, this is what we are calling advocacy on either we reduce or we ban the PET plastic bottles. As you have seen on the rivers, they are the ones which are many. And when we did research, we found that they are the only menace which is not, even the government is not really listening to us and trying to bring more solution to this. And we said that this is awareness. We're going to do this if we could find more resources. And this was resources from the members who contributed. And we saw that if we could be able to do this, it could be very easier to us to do awareness. And we wanted to put this tower in one of the road, bigger road in Nairobi. And we put an awareness to people to see the problem of this PET. This one were collected along the road, along the river, and most of them nowhere they were collected from household. So we can say that this is a problem we are having, and we are sustaining the community. And the first organization which and it's a company which allowed us to put this tower to their premises, and it's still there in Nairobi. It is called Shalom House. Shalom House is a business organization and a company and run by a Christian organization, which is called Koinonia, and which happened to be one of our mentors within Nairobi and working with us closely. They are the only one allowed us to put that that tower there. So we are still lobbying for the county to give us the space, and we try to create awareness along Nairobi. We are going to go to many streets, but we wanted to bring to build a very major one at the center of the city to create awareness on the problem of PET bottles.
Yeah, and that is that PET. Is that they can't be reused for anything. Is that the plastic you're talking about?
They can't be reused mostly, and most of them they are substandard plastics, which you can use them once or twice, but it's not recommended by the government to reuse them like other plastics.
And then, I think it's true that over a period of time, if that ends up in landfill or in soil, it eventually starts to leak out chemicals. Like, I think, Chris, did you say formaldehyde is one of the things? You're on mute, Chris.
Yeah, formaldehyde is one of the chemicals that leaches out of plastic. And, I mean, that's used for preserving, like, dead animals and bodies. And it is really toxic to living things.
Yeah. We actually, there was a story I came across that was covered. I wanted to bring up in the Irish news here. I don't think I can show this on screen, it says, this is from RTE News, which is the national news outlet here in Ireland. And it says, the US has thrown its support behind negotiations on a treaty to curb plastic pollution, ending a key holdup in international efforts to clean up the planet's oceans and save marine life. On a visit to the UN Environment Programme in Nairobi, Secretary of State Antony Blinken and the US would back talks in the Kenyan capital in February on a treaty to address plastic. Have you heard of that, Stanley? Anything about that?
No, this is news. Like, it's the same like COP26, which happened recently. And still people go there, take aeroplane polluting even the air with the gas and so on, which we as an advocacy organization, we are not really part of, because they normally make these promises, and wherever the resources comes, they never reach the grassroots level within our communities, whereby this is where the problem is. Like single use of plastics, most of the people are using these single use plastics. There are people from the community level. And you find that the government can sign treaties, and treaties they have been signing since how many years ago? Maybe you can say this was about COP26. You remember, starting from COP1 up to COP26.
Yeah.
And we had others before. But this is, you cannot say it's a solution to our problem, because we believe that if US is signing a memorandum with the Kenyan, to which extent do the local people understand it? And how the government and the local people and the US are going to work together and make sure we end this problem. Because even if they sign and maybe give Kenya 100 billion, 200 billion to solve the problem will be still there. They won't do anything. And we have been getting this donation and from different, even there is NGOs, there is some companies which are getting money from all over the world. But they've never even done something you can be said tangible within our communities.
Yeah,
that's why we are saying we are bringing the communities on board. We want the communities to have the say. They have they solve their problem from the grassroots level. That's why you will see even youth are going to clean the drainage with improper gears.
Yeah, it's a similar thing here where we kind of see, like, we're told, like, for example, recently it was in our news, we were told, like, oh, we're green now and we recycle everything properly and we recycled soft plastics. And it turned out that actually still a lot of it is being incinerated. And they're trying to sell us this idea that, like, oh, we're recycling and we're green. And it's like, no, that you're burning all of that. That's not recycling. Like, what are you talking about? And they sell our waste as fuel. It's unbelievable. But listen, I want to bring Jeremiah in on this a little bit. How are you doing there, Jeremiah? Can you hear us?
Hey, Cathy.
I can hear you clear. Yes, good afternoon and good evening, my colleague in Nairobi.
Thank you very much, my brother.
Yes, my name is Mustafa Gerima from Uganda, for your information. And Stanley, I think you sound familiar to me. And I must say thank you very much for that hard work. I am not a stranger to Nairobi. And indeed, once one is in Nairobi, it's very, 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 very deplorable. Actually, I was the first time I was in Nairobi, that was in 2002, and that's when Nairobi was most stingy. Actually, I think if you compare 10 years down now, at least there's some good work which we can see today. You can walk along Nairobi streets, and you know, the sting is somehow controlled. I think, thank you very much, Stanley, and I must say that I am really, really, really excited with what you're doing. Only that I missed you when I was in Nairobi.
Yeah, maybe we met. I'm seeing the face. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, so yeah. All right, yeah. Shane and Chris, good afternoon there.
Good afternoon. Mustafa, it's great to see you again. Anything new? Anything new? What's happening now at the moment?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry my screen can't show you, but nevertheless. Yes, as you can see me here, I'm just at my national site, and I'm just trying to organize a few things. You were seeing something green and you said that was a log. No, those are just bricks. I'm trying to put some one single room for my workers to put their equipment for the nursery. I think in the background I have my nursery there. So actually, before I could talk about what is here, I must say that I really got really touched with what Stanley and the team are doing, because for one who has ever been to Nairobi, you know, we really needed that kind of efforts like the Stanleys are doing actually.
Hello, 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 and you're all very welcome to the Khan Projects podcast. We're taping a show with Jeremiah Mustafa from Uganda, conservationist and activist. He's been working tirelessly. He's very dedicated to his cause, not only save the Shea tree, but to raise awareness, ultimately help the community, and not just the local community, but the community at large, and that means globally.
Actually, yesterday, you know, I have a WhatsApp platform for this, and it was like these guys were saying, yes, for us, everyone should emulate the examples of Mustafa that they were referring to me. I just don't talk the talk. Yeah. I walk what I talk. We have a few of our representatives at the COP, but surprisingly, some of them have not been known. Why, instead of having been here doing these other things, now they are there, they have wasted a lot of time and resources, but nobody listens to them. I think right now I'm with you, and the whole world is going to listen to what is this. For your information, as I said earlier on, I have had a lot of media coverage. That means the global community really now knows somebody is like this, is doing this, and he needs to be helped in this way. Especially for today, my Twitter account has been so busy. Remember, I have two accounts, my personal account and Save the Shea account. They're two. So they are really very, very active. The two accounts there, but they were not really as active as during the COP thing, especially now when I was put in police cells and doing all this. And then, exactly as he said, my incarceration was like a publicity.
Yeah.
And now, together with the COP, when I missed it, because so many people got concerned, they wanted to see me there. For your information, the UNEP calls me their Shea Nut Ambassador. Recognized UNEP Shea Nut Ambassador. That's like UN calls a goodwill ambassador, but mine is not a goodwill. Mine is the real one, because I walked into the offices of the UNEP. They say, this is our ambassador for these three species. So that means the whole world had wanted to see me at COP.
If what's really important is how much money you have so you can send more people, it's not really a level platform, I don't think, you know?
It's
so,
not.
No,
it's
of course not. It's not.
If COP belongs to the United Nations, then they are failing. I must say that I really got really touched with what Stanley and the team are doing, because for one who has ever been to Nairobi, you know, we really needed that kind of efforts like the Stanleys are doing actually, because Nairobi is our capital city for the region, and world will expect this city to be clean, but on the ground it is the exact opposite. All these places he has been mentioning are places I know, and you know, Kibra is the second largest city, and fortunately Kibra comes from my native language. Kibra means forest, you know. It is a place that was given to the Nubian community, and yeah, right now when you're in Nairobi, it's one of the places that is forgotten, and exactly what Stanley had described. That is the exact picture on the ground. So I think I must say that I'm in total solidarity with Stanley. And once we have opportunity to meet, I think we need to have these exchange visits so that we can beef up these kind of things. Because you remember 3 weeks ago, I had one of my trips where I captured these plastics that were just thrown anyhow in my village, and it brought a lot of attention. The issue of plastics is our collective responsibility, actually. I am known to be spearheading the Share Net, but I actually started as an environmental advocate. And so in our thematic areas, we are being the issue of garbage collection in a small town at the foothills of the Rwenzori Mountains called Kasese. And I actually did a lot to come together with the local authorities. I would go to the town clerk's office to ask for these jute bags so that we just collect these kind of things. You know, I have seen Stanley expressing dissatisfaction with the authorities. It is a common thing everywhere, but my brother, you just need to continue paying visits to these offices so that you know, at last they will listen to, because a politician will always be a politician. For them, they have their targets, and once you go to them, they'll think, is you as worth bringing my political image closer to my audience? So these are big challenges, especially for us in Africa, and more so in East Africa, which is a backyard for us. So the issue of politicians need not derail us from the good work. And so I must say that, Stanley, you need to take heart and continue with whatever you're doing there. I really commend this work, because as I said earlier on, if you are in Nairobi today and you compare Nairobi of 2002, those years, there's a great, great difference. Nairobi, to me, is now very clean, because I've been moving to, whenever I go to Tanzania, I have to pass through Nairobi. And there are other cities that are worse than actual Nairobi. I know cities like Nakuru, like the Kisumu, you mentioned, Eldoret. These places you have passed are those that need really your network to be there, and I will call on the global community to really join hands with you and make sure that these are issues that are addressed together. You know, we can't wait for, as Shane said earlier, we can't wait for the governments to do some things for us, because the issue of the garbage is a health issue, and the health issue is going to affect every one of us. So the few who can volunteer and they can commit themselves, like Stanley and the team, yeah, I think we need to encourage them and support them in whatever way we can, so that you know, it is made in such a way that the ultimacy is our health, because our environment is our health. So without a proper environment, we are bound to waste a lot of money trying to treat ourselves. So I think, yes, environment is something that needs to be properly addressed, and it needs a collective effort.
Yes, because I totally agree on everything there, Mustafa, because it's just been, there's been a total neglect of the environment everywhere, globally, yes, all over the planet. Like, and I mean, I'm not going to get into economics and all that kind of stuff, but there does need to be a fresher attitude, I feel, towards our environment, you know, and an active interest in our environment, because you can't just ignore these things and expect that it's going to be okay. It's not okay. Like even the fish now that they're pulling out lumps and lumps of plastic from fish. You know, and it's all going into us.
Yeah, especially as Chris has said, because Nairobi has that linkage with the Indian Ocean. That's already a very big factor for us to consider. You remember, I lived more than 15 years at the coast, not far from Mombasa. I lived in Tanga in Tanzania, and it is ever being a very big problem. Every weekend I would go by the coastline and at least try to see that if we can pick some of this during my free times when I'm not working, especially on Sundays. I used to go and spend the whole day at the coast. just where there's the fishing market, the fish point, and that's where a lot of it. As Stanley alluded to it earlier on, I think we also need to have that responsibility for ourselves, not the government, because we need to have that individual thoughts that really this thing, if we throw it anyhow, it will affect us, especially now along the coast. We all eat the fish, and we are throwing these plastics anyhow, and they end up into the water, and the same fish will engulf this, and this same thing comes back to us. I think we are one way or another causing our own problems. So I think Stanley's point of continuous advocacy is what we need to capitalize on. And if actually there are people who could come on to help this program, we need to step up for advocacy, because advocacy is not an easy thing. For me, when I started environmental activism, I started purely from advocacy problem. And today, it still takes 3/4 of my time. You know, I move from village to village, talk to people, please, you need to spare these tree species. We need to work like this. We need to do this. Advocacy is so laborious and involves actually investing a lot of resources in it, both human and financial resources. So I think the issue of the fish always disturbs me, because to me, fish is my main protein source. I like fish more than any other thing. And that's why I used to go to the coral reefs, pray to see if I can pick some of these plastics that end up there. But I think it is a general problem, if I would say, with the African culture also. There's that kind of I don't care attitude. I'm sorry to say this, but of course I know it is also there in the other European and the Western countries. But I think for us in Africa, it is too much. Somebody's just buying, a bottle of water, removes that that is still there, just throws it anyhow. I have seen it in Tanzania, especially when you're going through the national parks. Once you are found throwing these things anyhow, you are heavily fined. I think for us, Africa, we learn through the heavy-handedness. Maybe we'll also begin doing this kind of things, but it must not be coming from the politicians, because if it comes from the politicians, it's going to be, misunderstood. But I think we just need a kind of soft approach, especially from Stanley's team, of trying to see. To me, I would think Stanley needs a first help of trying to do capacity building in trying to do the advocacy programs, because we really need the capacity building. And that entails a global outlook into that, because as he is now with his team, from his introduction, some people started this organization and somewhere they didn't see why they could continue. But I think their focus was somewhere. That's why I was saying Stanley is a man with his team. So I think we really need that kind of capacity building for Stanley and the team, because I know Stanley and there's a colleague also, I think Mazingira Yetu, you know him, Stanley, your namesake, is I think Sam Dindi. Sam Dindi also works, yes. Yeah, they are always even there. I always see him there. Yeah. So these are issues, and I must say that
Mustafa's frozen there. He might.
Maybe the problem of network.
It's happened a few times.
I am part of some of his team. I usually give him moral support. He also gives me that. Yeah, okay.
Say
but
again.
I can hear you clear,
that again, please, Mustafa.
I can hear you clear.
We can.
Hello?
Yeah, we can hear you now.
Yeah, okay. Now, what I was saying is today Okay, thank you. Today we're talking about Nairobi. If you remove further south, Dar es Salaam city also has the same problem. And when you continue to Mozambique, it's the same problem. That's why I was saying it is an African problem. But when you come westwards to our neighbor, Rwanda, because they took a very collective responsibility. Rwanda today is one of the cleanest cities, countries, and especially one in Kigali, which I visited, I think, in 2016. It is very clean because they took upon themselves that this is our environment. We need to be responsible for that. So I think these are the things we need to teach our own people. And I know they are going to understand it, because Nairobi, I was there 2 years ago, and The life of people I saw 2 years ago is not the life I knew 10 to 15 years ago. People had that kind of free attitude. But because of continuous, you know, encouragement and advocacy, I think people are continuing to change. And I think we needed that. But the point here is Stanley is not going to get it very easy. I know. I very well know. It's not going to get it easy. And that will mean the local authorities and the global community really come in handy and see that this program is a step forward, actually.
There's an apt expression for that, which is many hands. Make, there's an apt expression for that. There's an expression, many hands make light work. You know?
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the voice of one man is easy to ignore. The voice of 100.
Yes, go ahead. thank you very much. Thank you very much. That is it. That is it. Yeah, that is it. Yeah.
So Stanley, I'd love to ask.
Yeah, saying back to you.
There's two things I'd love to ask you, Stanley. Okay, we saw that great work you did with the Terror of Plastic. I think that was a wonderful way to just show people, like, look at this problem, but look at how we fixed it. So I'd love to ask you two things. One is, what in your view so far has been the biggest accomplishment of Nairobi Recyclers? But what has also been, I think Mustafa kind of alluded to it, what's the biggest challenge also?
Okay, our achievement, we can say we have achieved a lot because the really community around and the local leaders, now they can listen. When you make a noise, we cannot make a noise more than 3 weeks and somebody listened to us. And a big achievement, when we started doing advocacy, we did a report last year, 2020. And during the COVID-19, and we did a report, and this report was quite, 2019 was, yeah, 2019. We did a report, and this report was quite huge. And the minister himself listened to us, and when we did our research on PAT, the area MP of where we launched the report in Dagoretti came on board and listened to us. And whenever we launched this advocacy report, of waste pickers trying to advocate for the justice of waste pickers, the county, the biggest person at the county level who represent the interest of the government, local government, she came handy to listen to us. And another achievement we have been able to do, wherever we do, we have closed around 5 mini dump sites, which was a plus to us. We are able to close them completely, close and do something else there. And that's a big achievement. But the challenges to us is minimal resources, because we strained a lot and we worked tirelessly, like my brother has said, and during the, we can maybe close a dump site and our volunteers have to sleep outside there for more than a week protecting the place, because if you go and leave the place, somebody will come and dump again there and the problem will occur again. And we were able to do this through the strength of our community. And I can say another strength is also a success is two organizations that have listened to us and they are really working with us, like Koinonia is a trust organization within Kenya. They are really working with us and we applaud them. And the sub-county of Dagoretti and Kibra, they are working with us also.
Stanley Diddy, who is the project coordinator over at the Nairobi Recyclers.
10 years from now, we will not have a place to be in. And the generations, the children who are coming up will be living in a very deplorable conditions. We are the one doing the photos, videos, using our own mobile phone, which are more simple.
Yeah.
And we go on the ground and we do this documentation. And another river, remember, it's the river which going to a river, and then it's feeding now the to the Indian Ocean at the coast. But now when you look the face and the source of Nairobi River, nowhere to smile.
I saw a terror of plastic.
Okay, this is what we are calling advocacy on either we reduce or we ban the PET plastic bottles. Okay, that is Kibra. It was day two in Kibra. We call it day two. Kibra is the largest slum in Kenya and maybe in Africa, if I'm not wrong right now, after the South African one, Soweto. And this one we were doing cleanup. Remember, we did a cleanup here. We sensitized the people. But if I go back there, the things are not really okay. It is already polluted. And these slums, it accommodated so many people, more than 800,000 people. It's in Kibra, it's a constituency. But in the only slums, it's more than 800 people, 1,000 people who lives there. And they live in this condition each and every time. If you go there, there is a lot of diseases, there is a lot of waterborne diseases, and the children are playing at this place, and it's not really conducive for a human being to stay here. Some of them dies from the disease like TB because of that infection of the smoke, and some of them dies from tetanus. Something can be treated also because they cannot access the medical attention, and some of them dies from illicit brew. And we were able to do this through the strength of our community. And I can say another strength is also success is one, two organizations that have listened to us and they are really working with us, like Koinonia is a trust organization within Kenya. They are really working with us and we applaud them. And the sub-county of Dagoretti and Kibra, they're working with us also.
What are they called again? Sorry, Stanley, could you say that the name of that group again, please?
The group of?
That you just mentioned.
There's a group called, there's an organization called Koinonia Community. Also, they work with the street children. And there is a big plus. We also take the ones who need to be rehabilitated, we forward them to them, and they help us in doing rehabilitation of these young children who needs to go back to school and achieve their dream. And they have been also giving us space. We have got space where we do work, and they volunteer to give us an office. Wow. We are working from an office, and they have already assisted us in other ways. We can say that's a bigger achievement. And another big achievement we have done, we did a report. The report, we have been launching it. We have done many activities. We have been doing them, as you see on the social media. We do and we document. We do pictures. We do this and that's an achievement.
Yeah,
but the challenges is lack of resources, which drain us to do more and more of advocacy.
Yeah. Well, it's great.
Is there any way that people can help support you to help you get these resources? Is there any fundraising activity or like a GoFundMe or any Patreon or anything?
Okay, what we request, we call them the friends of environment because we are working globally. We are requesting them to assist us. Maybe when we are doing something on Twitter, also we need it to be supported because on Twitter, we are able to do that. We cannot do more than that, like boosting it on the Twitter. And also when we are doing our advocacy activities, when we want to print, we want to reach the communities around, so many communities, they request us to do and do so many projects, but we are not able to do that. So if you could get any person willing to support, either in kind, in volunteerism, and in cash, anything to do to support us when you are doing these activities, we can reach many people and many groups. And as now we are advocating for the waste pickers and building this tower to show the world that this is a problem, we need really support from each and every corner. Especially even prayers, people praying to us because sometimes we get threatened we know, like activists also, we have got so many challenges in Africa, and most of us are killed or they get missing. No one, my brother from Uganda will tell you they can go missing and forever. So we need this support and protection, mm-hmm. and we need the world to, when we are together, we can have a bigger voice. But when we are separated, we are not able to be heard. So if we make a noise and any person make a noise outside there, people will listen to us. Like in Uganda, they make a noise. We make a noise in Nairobi. We make a noise in Iceland. We make a noise in Tanzania. We make a noise
in Ireland too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No. And the people will listen to us.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And so Stanley, what's the best way for people to get in touch with Nairobi Recyclers?
The best way they can get to us is through our email. And also they can use Twitter handle, which is at Narek NGO. And also they can also go to our website now. It will be working soon because it is under construction. Because the face you are seeing, there is somebody working on to make sure the website come on live. Today it was just trying to do introduction and then it will be closed again to for maintenance. So we have got our email. Our email is info@narekNGO.org or narekNGO@gmail.com.
Great. So that's NAR.
My number, our number, our office number, which it hasn't, we are still using it every time you can find us, is +254 731 210584.
Okay, great, Stanley. Thanks for that. And just for again.
Also, our Facebook is, we have a Facebook also called Nairobi Recyclers. Okay. Yeah.
Great, great. So I'll just give the email again there is narecngo@gmail.com. And like Stanley said, Twitter is a great place to check out Nairobi Recyclers. They're also on Facebook. And Stanley, is there anything else now that before we say goodbye, is there anything else you want to bring up? We've a little bit more time. Is there anything else you wanted to mention or anything I haven't asked you that you'd maybe like to talk about?
Okay, now we are requesting for more video coverage. We need to do a documentary in Nairobi, and we are requesting if there is any well-wishers wants to come on, we can be able to document the problem we are facing and the success within Nairobi. And also we want to request any investors who would like to support waste pickers. Our doors are open. You can come through us and we'll be able to see the life of these young people changed, especially on rehabilitation, because we are working with them. And when we rehabilitate them, they'll be able to work very well within our community.
Okay, fabulous. And Stanley, we'll be very happy to, we're going to put this video out and we're going to put out some smaller clips, and I'll be very happy to share around what you've already documented. And I really commend and the work that you're doing. And I think you have a great approach to keep it community based and just make it about awareness and education and just show people and document the problem and document how you're tackling the issue and how things are going, because I think you actually are doing, I think it's going quite well, but there's obviously still lots and lots of work to do. And I'd love you to come back, Stanley, soon. Would you come back to us and speak again with us?
One second there, Sharon.
I'm always around, maybe, but I'm thinking maybe I'm around until December 15th or 20th, between December or 20th. And then if the issue, the things will be very well, I'll be traveling to Zambia through Tanzania and meeting other environmentalists, talking to them, trying to do voice, doing some activities with them. And I'll end up in Zambia. Maybe I'll be back in Nairobi at mid of January. But you can get me anytime, as long as you tell me earlier, and we can organize that wherever there is a network. You can get me, especially during 5 p.m. and above, because during the daytime we are at the field working. It's very hard to find us online, or you can find us online, but we are at field working.
Sure.
So maybe when we are going to launch our website, we'd like you to also join us and help us in amplifying the voice all over the world.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for asking us. We'd be more than happy to help you with that. We'd be absolutely delighted to help you with that. And
Jeremy, is that your nursery you're showing us there?
Yes, Shane. Yeah, that's my nursery. Yeah, that's where I am.
Oh, brilliant.
That looks amazing.
Yeah, you can see it there.
Yeah.
There must be thousands of students.
Yeah, this is just the pilot. Yeah, 1,008 per bed, and I think I have around 4 beds here. So this is where I started, and these are roughly 3 months ago. No, 4 now, because these were put in June, and you can see the last one is still about germinating. Here you are. So this is still germinating. So yeah, but I have done pruning of the roots, and it takes very slow, and it will be ready for transplanting by April next year. Yeah. So this is where I mostly take my time when I'm off the advocacy village to village walking. So this is where I take much of my time. Yeah.
Get the sleeves rolled up.
Yeah.
Oops. And my brother.
Yes,
please. My brother also. Also, we have got some small nursery we are doing at our offices. Maybe one time I'll take you around also, you see what you are doing. And also we are doing a small nursery whereby we do germination of the seeds we collect from the market, where we do cleanups on the road when we do cleanups. So we'll be able to share with you also this experience, and to share with us quite of this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think exactly. I think you guys
actually
could.
I should have been in Nairobi this week, because there's a group of environmentalists who are doing go ahead, Chris. Go ahead.
Oh no, I didn't say that. I just kind of
coughed.
That was me coughing a little bit.
All right. Sorry. Okay. Yeah, I was saying. Savo National Park is in tears because the lions and elephants are dying. It's very dry there. So we just wanted to see if we can raise at least 1,000. Yeah, we wanted to see if we could mobilize people and raise at least 1,000 liters per day for these animals, because Savo is a very big national park, but situations right now are very, very deplorable. And so a friend of mine is just trying to go around other environmental activists trying to raise. So we should have been in the moment, but of course, as a standard said for us here, these are financial problems here and there. So I missed going there, but I think hopefully I should be joining them, because right now I think they're in Mombasa, and then they'll come up to Savo National Park. I'm just trying to see if people can help these lions, because the number is really reducing. Savo used to have the largest number of lions in East Africa, but now it is coming down. So yeah, it's not easy. It's not easy. Actually, the climate crisis, as we talk about now, this is a real crisis. From climate change now, it has come to climate crisis. So yeah, it is something that's really biting the global south, really biting. You see where I am, it used to be not like this, but you can see everywhere it is just not the best. Because in front of me, that used to be our mango forest, but now you see where it is gone. And the man has also put his hand in it, and everything has got lost, really. Yeah.
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 Now, one of the questions I had lined up was, I was wondering, what are some practical things that we can do to accelerate solving the problems of pollution in a sustainable way? And it occurs to me as we talk, it really is a community issue. This is a thing that we need to bring communities together, I think.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah, I think to me, we need to stop complaining and lamenting, because this is a problem that is already taken. Yes, we are almost halfway drowning into this problem. So once you are in the ocean drowning, it's not time for you to learn how to swim. You either swim or you die. So yeah. This is the situation now. I think we now need to do the actual thing, because we have no time now to learn how to swim.
Well, Chris, there you go. There's the second part with Stanley Diddy from Nairobi Recyclers. That's NARAC NGO. You'll find them on Twitter, and they're well worth checking out. All that documentation that they've done, just gone out with their mobile phones and filmed the rivers of plastic
and the fish kills in the rivers. And, you know, it's... I was a bit touched by it, you know.
Yeah, it's very worrying. Like all that stuff, all that rubbish and waste just gone. It's like everything from medical waste to rusty bits of metal and all kinds of stuff just getting dumped into the rivers, and then it finds its way into the Indian Ocean.
Hmm. And contributes to the mountain of plastic in the sea. Like,
yeah. So there's another third part of this, Diz, and also look out for the long play. We'll be doing another environmental long play stream that'll be coming up at some point in the future. So we'll advertise ahead of time, so you know about that. But again, check out NAREC NGO, that's NAREC NGO on Twitter. It's the Nairobi Recyclers. And you know, I got to say, actually, Chris, there's a lot of great other advocacy groups out there in Nairobi and Kenya and Africa who are really doing some outstanding work. I have to say, the research that we've been doing and some of these other groups that we've come across, I'm very impressed with the level of efforts that they're putting
in. It'd be
nice
to get another few of them in on the show as well, like just to...
Yeah, definitely. Well, they're actively interested. They're actively interested, like we are, in our environment. And Jack O'Sullivan's another person will be back on with us in January to talk a bit about marine biology at a round table. But he made a great point about just with the COP26 thing and all of that, how, you know, we had all the richer countries come together, and some of them do a certain amount, but really not squeeze as much as they possibly could. But the other 138 developing countries are the ones that are really suffering the most from climate change.
Yeah.
And they're basically being... like left usual to fend for themselves, and it's really not on, and it's very inhumane. And thankfully the conversation is starting to pick up, and I think we are going to actually see some real positive
movement.
I think so, Chris, what do you think?
Yeah, I'm hoping for the best, but I mean, I always hope for the best and prepare for the worst, really.
Yeah, well, that's good. But I think now that we're actually getting the conversation has turned to actually doing practical things, you know, working out what are the practical things that we can do to A, conserve, and B, restore our environment.
Yeah.
And, you know, the idea of global equality for me now is something that is coming up quite a lot, and the conversation seems to be going in that direction as well. So I think the best we can do is keep on meeting up and linking up with other people out there, Chris.
Like, if there's anyone out there who is from an organization, they can always reach out to us as well to see if we can, you know.
Yeah, and you get us at canprojects.info@gmail.com. And our website, the link is in the description, or you can find our podcast on the usual, the Can Projects podcast on the usual podcast outlets like Spotify, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Spreaker, iHeartRadio.
Podbean,
apparently. few other things, usual spots, YouTube, Facebook. And if you'd like to get involved in the conversation publicly, you can find us over there on the Twitterverse on Twitter at CanProjects1. So, Chris, anything else you'd like to say before we sign off?
No. Just wishing everyone a happy and safe whatever day they're watching this on. You know?
Yeah, and, absolutely.
Roll on the festive seasons.
Yeah. And roll on a new year. Here come we're getting ready for a new year. So roll more roll up the sleeves, I think. In it for the long haul, eh, Chris?
Oh yeah, we're here for a long time, you know.
Okay, listen, everybody. Adios and slán go fóg.
Slán is panicked.